killing a million people. Help us fight back and make a better world.
Welcome to Jewish Singles Radio. I am your host, Valerie Zaslow, along with my co-hosts, Alana Bergavoy.
Hi, everybody.
And Renee Mazur.
Hello.
This is the second season of Jewish Singles Radio, where our goal is to bring Jewish men and women together and build an engaging, like-minded community where we can connect and have authentic, meaningful conversation about dating after 40.
If you're divorced, widowed, a single parent, or maybe you have never been married, not only will you meet new people through the age-old art of conversation, you will also learn a lot. On every show, we will be talking with dating coaches, health and wellness experts, matchmakers, religious leaders, educators, and of course, other single people, so we get all of their perspectives.
We understand that managing modern dating and navigating single life is not easy, and our goal is to provide you with lots of valuable information and have some fun along the way. If you have questions for any of us or for any of our experts on the show, or if you would like to be a guest on the show, give us a call. The number is 888-329-3306.
So if you are Jewish and single, or single and look to meet someone Jewish, let's talk about it. You can listen to Jewish Singles Radio live every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 FM HD2. Or you can hear the streaming show online at WWDBAM.com and wherever you get your podcasts. So today we are talking about the secret to attracting the right person and going after what you want when you're dating. You know, attraction works in so many ways, starting with like a glance, or maybe it even develops with someone over time. But how can you tell if you're ready to move on and dive back into the dating pool after a failed relationship? According to life, love, and relationship coach Marnie Batista, who is our guest today on Jewish Singles Radio, you need to become aware of your thought process regarding your ex and then write down why you feel the way that you do. So for women, after a bad breakup, how do you attract a man and build real love and trust the second time around? And what's the secret to attracting the right person and getting what you want? Well, Marnie is going to help us to answer those questions. She is a transformational life, love, and relationship coach and the founder of the Institute for Living Courageously and Dating with Dignity. After a 17-year marriage, divorce, dating, and remarriage, she felt compelled to help other women create emotionally safe and fulfilling intimate relationships. Marnie has been featured in national publications like Cosmopolitan Magazine, the Los Angeles Times, Glamour Magazine, and the Huffington Post. She has also appeared on CBS, ABC, Dr. Phil, and Loveline, where she actually fill in for Dr. Drew. And her weekly podcast, Life Check Yourself, has more than 30,000 downloads a month. And she was actually named one of the 10 best women's dating experts by datingadvice.com. So very exciting introduction. Welcome, Marnie, to Jewish Singles Radio.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, there's so many women whose lives have been changed forever after divorce. And you say you know what it's like to be lonely and sick of wasting time and going on dates and having relationships with unavailable men that go nowhere. I want to hear a little bit about your story, because you say that, you know, you found your purpose in helping other women to feel emotionally safe and find love and create a fulfilling life based on what your experience is. So maybe just share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah. So, you know, I got married at 22. I met the man who is my now ex-husband when I was 19. And I you know, I think the reason why I married him is, you know, because, like, he called me the next day. Like choosing criteria was pretty low. I didn't have a lot of self-worth. I had a lot of energy around, like, just wanting to be picked and wanting to be chosen. And I was pretty unconscious at that time. And so we got together, and, you know, we were together for 17 years, and it was very much an unhealthy and relationship, which left me sort of like with even less self-worth. We had three daughters. You know, I got divorced. It was a big deal. There was no one in my family who had ever been divorced. And, you know, I met someone else right away, and I was like, okay, well, like, this is going to be it. And I sort of like got into the same pattern, you know, like, oh, you're calling me the next day. You like me. Okay, let's have a relationship. But in the end, it was like a different version of my ex-husband. And I ended up devastated. He cheated on me, broke up with me. And that was that moment where I, you know, realized I have three daughters, and the common denominator in all my failed relationships is me. And if I can't get it together for myself, because I was so broken and hopeless, I thought, like, being a mom is the most important thing to me. There, I cannot transmit this to my children. Like, I have to get it together. If I can't do it for me, I want to do it for them. And that was really the beginning of, you know, this process, this five-year process of really discovering, you know, self-worth and really healing and releasing patterns and behaviors and beliefs that were no longer serving me, and then creating a way to date with dignity and that felt fun and organic, to where I felt like I was choosing. And I ultimately met my husband, and we've been together for 13 years.
So is it important to understand what went wrong in your relationship so that you don't make the same mistake twice? Because you kind of said that you, you know, just by the guy that you were dating saying hello, and you kind of like the fact that he responded to you, that, you know, immediately was something that was appealing to you. But I mean, you know, as part of the advice and the help that you offer is for people to really take a good hard look at themselves and understand what it is. I mean, none of us are perfect, but we all feel like, you know, we have to have some responsibility towards, you know, what happened in a relationship with two people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a great thing to remember, is everyone is guilty, but no one's to blame, right? Because there's a whole lot of experiences that create the neural wiring that we have in our brain that, you know, gets in the way of who we really are in our most authentic self, like those layers and layers and layers of the onion, so to speak. And so when I coach people, I really am trying to get an idea of their relationship history, to see what, to connect the dots and to see what the patterns are. And I can do that pretty quickly. And when I do that, I'm like, oh, you know, and typically it boils down to there's some part of them that's emotionally unavailable. And so all of the men that they're attracted to, or the men that they have been in relationships with, are in some way unavailable. And so it's a perfect dysfunctional match. And that's what we want to break. We want to rewire that part of our brain that is attracting that familiar but unhealthy experience of relationship and love.
How do you know? I don't even know how you know. You get started, you like somebody, or you even just find them appealing or attractive, and, you know, there's maybe chemistry, but you don't know what you don't know, right? Tell me what you teach in terms of what you say the secret is to attracting the right person.
Yeah, so that's great. So the secret really is that you have to be able to, I call it, become rejection proof. And being rejection proof doesn't mean that you're never rejected. You will be rejected. That's part of the dating process. But you will not experience it as a rejection. And so that means if someone's not a match, if someone doesn't call you back, if someone ghosts you, if someone doesn't text you, that the question that you're answering when you're laying in bed, or asking when you're laying in bed at night, isn't like, what's wrong with me? What did I do? How come this keeps happening to me? That you're rejection proof, right? So the way that you start to change who you're broadcasting to, like your pool, is by creating this deep sense, this knowing of your enoughness and your wholeness and a belief that the universe has your back, and that things are happening for you and not to you, and that, you know, you're constantly curious, open, and optimistic, meaning that you have dating experiences, you learn from them, you assess, you make adjustments, that you're invested in it as a process. And when you do that, your results that you get are going to continue to give you feedback of how you need to shift until ultimately, you know, you find your person, but that you can start to explore developing a relationship with.
That's very interesting. Marnie, it's Alana. Yeah, what you're describing almost sounds like manifestation. When people talk about I'm manifesting my destiny, you know, because I'm, you know, attracting the luck or the things that I want to attract. But yet you do realize, and you did realize, that you were doing something. Was it just that you didn't believe you could have it, or that you were doing things that got?
That's such a great question. Yeah, I mean, I believe, like, in quote-unquote manifestation, I think what goes awry with those things is that our core beliefs aren't really aligned to what it is that we want to attract. And so it's what we can't, it's like you can't read the label from inside the jar. So one of the things that I always have clients do, or when I speak to someone, I'll ask them, so, you know, what are you thinking about dating, or how do you feel about dating, or what are your thoughts about it? And I just did a video on this, and it's like, it's his loss, you know, things like, you know, dating is hard. Why bother? You know, he's probably going to let me down anyway. If you just start to listen to the way that you express the experience of dating, that is a really great thing to look back at and say, oh, wow, look at my actual beliefs, right? Because you can, and I did this, you know, I remember logging on to JDate, and I would like be like, all right, it was almost like, you know, all right, it's Sunday night, I'm going to do this, you know, I get psyched up. And I'd click on there, and it'd be these matches, and I'd be like, oh, my God, like, you're here still? And then I'd be like, oh, God, I'm here still? Like, this is bad, right?
I think we've all been there.
Exactly. And so and that's when I was like, oh, my actual beliefs are, like, I'm not excited. I have a lot of shame about this. I'm not giving people a chance. I'm very closed-minded. You know, so before you say, like, oh, I'm affirming and I'm meditating and I'm, you know, I'm doing all these things and I'm praying and all of these things, we have to really make sure that we're being radically honest with ourselves and that we can clean up our beliefs and heal those things that are in the way of us really believing that which is true, which is that, like, there is a, you know, a lid for every pot.
Yeah, that's true. I always say that.
But it's easier said than done because, you know, yes. The only other way I know people have told me that they have mantras that they repeat over and over again, you know, I am enough and all this kind of thing. And there are people who believe they are enough, but yet they have to lose, you know, 50 or more pounds. They really have their effort that they have to put forward, but they're just not willing to do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with self-confidence, which is kind of, you know, what you're getting at. And it's hard after disappointment and rejection yep. to feel confident about yourself again. What are some of the most common mistakes that you find that women make when, you know, they're trying to feel good about themselves and be positive about getting out there again, but it's just not working?
Well, I think number one is that focusing on the external. And so it's much easier for our brain to try and control the things that we think we can control. And so one of the biggest mistakes I have seen women make is their list of what they're looking for. And they have this list of expectations that are, first of all, very long, and also a reaction to all of those things that didn't work in the past. And if you go online, sometimes I do this on my podcast, I'll have people, I'll be like, all right, let's look at your profile. And I can just tell by like the first line and the last like three sentences, like everything that didn't work in their last relationship, right? So it's like, no, you know, if you have drama in your life, don't respond. You know, if you, no financial, you know, insecurity for me, you know, like whatever it is, they're just like effusing what they don't want on their profile. And that is a huge, huge turnoff, number one. And then at the same time, they have a giant list of expectations about what he needs to be. And that sometimes that list is just sabotage. Like if you are actually afraid of getting hurt and you create this giant list of expectations, well, guess what? You're probably not going to get hurt because every single person is going to let you down.
Amazing.
You know, like, yeah, like I've heard clients and I've heard people say like, I went on this date, he was really cute, but I cannot believe he was wearing those tennis shoes. They were filthy.
Oh, we've had
who
that.
Who could leave the house like that? Yeah,
and
right?
We've absolutely heard that. I'm just curious, does the list get shorter as you get older?
No.
I mean, I think you maybe become
longer.
A little bit more realistic.
No, but that's what's so crazy is the list gets longer because the older you get, the more fine you are on your own.
I completely get
right?
that.
Wait a second.
But that's a mistake, right? We're not fine on our own.
Yes. We're not fine on our own. Yes. I call that like settling for the backup life. And that is like the backup life, which is, you know, settling for the wrong guy or settling for no guy and trying to convince yourself.
Okay.
You know, we're all, yeah, go ahead.
So I want to know, first of all, this whole idea of having the self-confidence that you're going to manifest the right one, that you're not going to make those mistakes again, that you're going to walk into the light. How would you suggest someone get that self-confidence?
Or where do you start
I think where you start first is with a giant healthy dose of self-compassion, right? Like everybody is doing the best that they can at any given time. And that literally means with whatever capacity that we have at that given time. And so before we sort of say like, you know, how am I going to work on myself, heal myself, whatever kind of terminology you want to use, the most important thing to do is to really honor that part of you that is scared, that feels not enough, that was abandoned or rejected at any time in your life, and to just really have a moment and like talk to yourself in that way and be like, you know what? Like, I know this is super, super hard. Like, but you know what? Like, we deserve love. Like, we're doing, like, talk to your hurt parts of yourself. Like, you're their cheerleader. Like, people didn't speak to you probably in your own past. So self-compassion is really, really important. And then number two thing to do is to really start to say, what are the beliefs that I have about myself? And to pattern trace them back to kind of their origin story, right? Like, where did I learn this? Where did this voice sort of come from? And usually it is some form of an internalized negative parent voice. So when we hear those criticisms or we hear those not enough or we interpret someone not being there for us, in a negative voice, what happens is that internally we start to say those things to ourselves. We believe they must be true. So when we can pattern trace those things and just identify where they're coming from and start to understand that it's not us, it's what we learned in the first, you know, 12 to 18 months and on of our life, we can then have this understanding that the way our brains are created, it's neuroplasticity, we can 100% train our brain to be confident, and that's empowering. So it's literally just installing new beliefs and new ways of thinking.
Well, that's beautiful. And I also, of course, am curious, how did you meet Jeremy?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was fully dating online. I was, you know, I had a diversified dating portfolio, as they say. And I say that because I think it's important, because going on dates online, you just, it gets your, like, your mojo going, you know, you just get to practice. So I was doing that. And then I was practicing the principle of, you know, be the person you want to attract. And I was really into learning and growing and personal development and transformation. And I went to a personal development seminar that a friend of mine was doing that I had recommended. So he was sort of graduating. And I went up to Northern California to support my friend. And my husband was in his class. And so we just had a little smile. And then about a month later, he DM'd me on Facebook back in the day.
I'm curious because one of the things, and we had a little bit of a brief discussion before the show, was the thing that I hear people say all the time is that all of the good ones are taken. And, you know, I feel like, and you have a lot to say about this, so we talked about it, but, you know, that's absolutely not true. I mean, I met a good guy. There's plenty of good guys out there. You know, it's just a matter of being able to identify them and separate, right, the good characteristics from the bad, or what it was that attracted you before, that you're not looking, as we're talking about, to have the same exact thing or qualities to repeat.
There's so many men out there. There's so many quality men out there. When women say, especially like over 40, well, all the men want women that are half their age. There are those men, but I promise you, those are not your people.
Right.
That might be true, but you probably don't want to date a guy who's 50 who wants to date someone who's 30 or 25. He's probably not your match. No judgment, but that's not what he's interested. There are so many quality men who are looking for women who have self-awareness, who are not into drama, who have an ability to know their feelings, express their feelings, and have really important conversations. This is what, you know, emotionally intelligent, high-quality men and women are looking for. And I'm telling you, there's so many out there. And that's why when you do this inner work and you build these skills, and then you have a really great dating strategy, you are like, you know, the top 1% of the algorithm. Like, you're the guy is like, oh my gosh, you're actually legit. You're real. You're caring. You're on it. Like, I have to have you, because he'll see you as that rare gem that you are. And that's how I want everyone to think of themselves. Like, you are a rare gem. There is a guy out there right now who's like, I just want to meet someone like, you know, X, Y, and Z, like, where is she? Because they're having the same experiences, right? So when he finds you, you know, it's amazing. The shirt.
Okay, so it's Renee. I'm listening to this and you're giving such good advice. The one question I have for you is where you started with, you look at your past relationships and you were involved in doing something wrong, but maybe you weren't. Like, and when you're coming out of a bad situation, shouldn't, like, you know, I deal with a lot of women in the battered mom community and their husbands were nightmares. Are they supposed to go like, oh, I contributed to that because I married him or I stayed? Like, I think that's putting blame on people that puts you in a mindset like, oh, I've got to change because it's about me too. That my past relationships mean I have something wrong with me or I did something wrong. When there's a lot of really crappy people in the world, and you might have just been with a person who is really not great, and there would have been no way. And I always tell the women that I work with, because everyone has this feeling that, you know, like they did something wrong by getting into these situations, is that guys don't tell you when you meet them, they don't have signs on their forehead that say, you know, schmuck. Like, right. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So there's a couple things here. First of all, the thing that I said at the very beginning was, like, sit down with a healthy dose of self-compassion, right? Everyone is doing the best they can. And if you got into a relationship with someone who ended up being abusive, it is 100% not your fault. That said, and I just believe this as a philosophy of life, like I always want to learn and grow and take responsibility for anything that I can. And so it's not that you're bad, and this is really important. I'm so glad you brought this up. Our past relationship fails, they're not our fault. We didn't do anything wrong. It's our soul's journey here. And there's something for us to learn and to grow from. So forgiving ourselves is a huge part of self-compassion and being open to love, to be looking at what of the tiny percent that is our part. Like, did we not leave soon enough? Did we not follow our gut? Did we whatever it is, right? But it's not your fault. And I think that this is a really important concept to understand, that we can take responsibility. Everyone is guilty. No one is to blame. We can take responsibility for how we want to be better humans without having to blame ourselves or any other person. And to forgive someone or to move forward from something like that doesn't mean you forget it or it's right in any way. It's that very global philosophy of so what, now what? And that's all it is. What are you going to do with that? And someone who's been in an abusive relationship absolutely would want to work with a therapist or a mental health professional to really process through that completely in a way that is so beyond the scope of my services, right? To really be ready to date and do this process with someone else, because that is a very specific situation.
Yeah, I really feel like in my experience, I went from A to B, and I couldn't have gotten to B without having gone through A. And then I went to C without having gone through A or B, you know? And I really feel like even though they were painful and I wish that I didn't have to experience everything that I did, I grew as a person, right? I learned from those mistakes. And even though it's unfortunate, it helps me now to realize what the things are about me that I thought weren't so great and what the things are that I'm looking for in the next partner. And when is it too early to start to express your specific relationship goals when you're dating somebody?
Oh my God, I love this question. I think like on the second date, at least. Like
really?
Maybe the first.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because you're not saying to this person, like, do you like me? You're saying, you know, so like, tell me about yourself. You know, like, where are you in your life? I'm in a place where in my life where I've like raised my kids. I've got this certain level in my, whatever it is, right? Like, and I am so ready to share my amazing life with someone. What about you? That's all. You're not saying, do you want to marry me? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I know is that guys that are quality guys that are looking for a serious relationship, the thing that turns them on the most is a woman who is confident. She knows what she wants. She's able to articulate it. She's not afraid of articulating it. And saying it in a lighthearted, playful, fun way is amazing, because the wrong guy will be like completely, oh, she's not my person, and go away. The right guy will be like, oh, wow, she knows what she wants. I wonder if I could be that person for her. It's inspiring to the right guy.
Well, that's beautiful. But what you said, I went on your site and you were talking about that we should stop settling. When are our expectations possibly a bit unrealistic or too high or too much?
That's I love this topic. So I say that you get to have 5 non-negotiables, 5 deal breakers, and they're based on values. So 5 core values, that is, those are the 5 fights you're never going to have again and again and again. They are the things that you really, really care about and that are going to help you have common goals and really pursue your individual dreams and the shared vision that you have for life. And they're not characteristics. So those are things like communication or honesty or integrity, adventure. I've had ladies who are really social activists put like activism, right? Like they want someone who's really going to live that life. financial, some kind of financial security, whatever it is, adventure, travel. And so you get five. And so I coach people to really get clear on what those five non-negotiables are. And then everything else is on your wish list. And a lot of ladies get many of the things on their wish list. And then the other pieces, they compromise. And so what happens is when you have everything is on your non-negotiable list, you become picky rather than discerning. So this system allows you to be very discerning without being picky.
I have an important question. It has goes to confidence, but a lot of the people who are listening to this are divorced, older, come with a lot of baggage. And like, let's say you have a health problem or a kid who's disabled or heroin addict or, you know what I mean? Like,
Sickly parent.
Dealing with, you know, like, how do you go out and dream, like, yeah, take me. Oh, I'm also broke from my divorce. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you, because that's the position so many people are in.
But so are the people that we're dating, right? I mean, if we're at our age, most of us are meeting people who've lived life, right, Marnie?
Yes. Well, absolutely. And so
how do you come to the table on a first date like that? I remember going on one first date where the guy's wearing an NA bracelet, and I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
You know
right?
what I mean? But well, like, for women especially, you know, like, most of them are divorced poor with kids that are caught, you know, a huge time stressors, if not major problems. So what do you do when you're in the dating world?
Number one is, so number one is don't think of that as like your baggage and that's what makes you unworthy and unlovable.
Different mindset.
It's your humanity, right? It's like, you're a human. Hey, like, I've lived a full ass life, you know? Mm-hmm. When I hit that coffin, I'm going to, like, you know, go around the corner, slide in, I'm going to be bruised and battered and wounded because I've lived my life fully. So anybody who's of a certain age completely understands that. What's interesting is that I had clients who were say, like, oh, I went on a date with this guy and he told me, like, his daughter, you know, is pregnant with the second kid and it's like a different guy and, you know, she might have to move home. And, you know, she's like, oh, I don't know if I can, you know, I don't know if I can go out with a guy like that. And I'm like, okay, well, did you ask questions? Like, what does that have to do with you? Like, how does that impact him? His ability to date, his financial security. And that's a really important thing to understand is that, yeah, you're going to hear a lot of stuff and you're going to be that person. It's really about getting the follow-up on, like, what do you mean by that exactly? How do you see that impacting your ability to form a relationship? Do you see your son ever moving out, right? Like, whatever those conversations are, that's what grown-ups do, right? And so it's not negative. It's how you frame it, how you own it, and how you talk about it. Because when you have non-negotiables that are things that are values that really, really are important, then all those other things become just the facts of someone's life after so many years. And then you figure out how you're going to work through that if it's a match.
Yeah, I feel like everybody has a story, right? And I always say that, you know, we all come with our baggage. It's just a matter of whose bags we want to unpack. So on that note, I want to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the training that you talk about, the steps that can make a guy turn his head and take a look at you. So stay with us.
Great.
You're listening to Jewish Singles Radio.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable, if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of different types of heart disease, like AFib, which is a type of irregular heartbeat. It affects both women and men, but women with AFib have a higher risk of stroke and death than men. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. Diet and exercise are key to staying healthy. Know the risks. Women Heart does something really unique, solely focusing on women and providing peer-to-peer support. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
I love you too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio. If you are just joining us, we are speaking with dating guru Marnie Batista, excuse me, about what the secret is to attracting the right person and going after what you want when you're dating. And right before the break, I asked a question, Marnie, about the training that you give. You talk about three steps that make a guy turn his head. Can you tell us what they are?
Things is that it's that what I call self-worth, right? So it's that confidence, it's that rejection proof. So she walks into the room and she has body confidence, whatever size she's in. She is smiling and her head is up. She's not like grasping her phone like it's her, you know, security blanket, you know, and she's got an energy around her that is really coming from this place of I matter. So that's really number one. Number two is what I call like the sex appeal. And what I really mean about that is less about sex necessarily, which is the femininity, the feminine energy that we have as women. And that just means like a softness, a playfulness, a lightheartedness, flirting, and whatever that means, you know, for today's environment, it's just about being playful and optimistic and assuming that people are good, you know, like they have the benefit of the doubt, they're innocent until proven guilty. And that just creates this warm and welcoming vibe, because men at this point, you know, are as worried about being perceived as a predator as they are about rejection. And so we want to like give the sign and the signal with our smile and our eyes for that right person to like talk to us, to approach us, and to be with us. And then the last piece is what I call the dating savvy. And what that means is like knowing how to communicate, having the right skills, knowing when it's time to initiate and when it's time to let him lead. It's how to ask for what it is that you want. It's about really understanding what it looks like to be empowered rather than like aggressive, you know. And how do you do all those things? What's your current awareness and knowledge about how do you date? Because so many women, as you said, like haven't dated in a long time or never had to date really. And so it's about making sure that you have those skills. And so when all of those things show up in one package, men are like, wow.
Right. I mean, when we talk about, or when you talked about knowing what you want and women initiating, I think that today so many women are initiators. And, you know, in fact, the app Bumble was created to help empower women so that they could make the first move. But I think a lot of us, you know, grew up thinking it's unladylike to be the initiator, or that men enjoy the thrill of the chase. So what do you think? Do you think that more men today are looking for women to make the first move?
Well, I think you have to look. So I look at online dating, especially like dating apps are tech companies, right? So what you want to do is you want to use the algorithm to actually get your best set of matches. So it's really important that you put away any of those archaic notions about a man has to reach out first. I was coaching a client and she said that very thing, like, oh, you know, my mom told me you should never like, you know, call a guy. And I was like, well, let's see, you're 60 something. So what year was it when your mom learned this? Like, I don't know, like 1940 something. And I was like, okay, well, it's 2022. So do you really want to date using like 80-year-old like mindset. She was like, oh my goodness, you're right. I was like, so here's what you got to do. So when you're using the app, it's actually amazing for you to start to reach out, because the truth is that most women don't initiate online. So men have empty inboxes, whereas women have many or more emails to navigate through. So they may or may not even have time to read them. A guy, on the other hand, he's just waiting for someone to like reach out. So when you reach out and you say something nice about the profile, you say, hey, how's your week going? Do you want to meet for coffee? Do you want to jump on this FaceTime? Do you want to jump on a call? He's like, oh my gosh, you made this so easy. I don't have to worry about getting rejected. She's already interested in me, and he's going to really take notice. So I think it's really important at that beginning stage that women 100% initiate, and you want to initiate up until he makes the date and you are like there sitting in front of him. And then after that, let him initiate the next date and anything moving forward. But you want to like close the deal.
I agree with that.
You know, I read some interesting information, actually a survey that was done by the dating app Match, that found that 95% of men wanted women to initiate the first kiss, and just as many women and just as many wanted to ask women for their numbers. I also understand from what I was reading that women who send the first message to a potential online date end up with a more attractive partner than somebody who is waiting for somebody to message them. And even following up on that women have better sexual experiences when they make the first move.
Because they're attracted to the person.
Exactly, because they're going after somebody that they obviously have chemistry with just by looking at their picture. I have all of these, I'm just saying not me, but in general, you know, you get 10, like you said, to have all of these, men who approach you that, you're like, well, I don't know. You read a little bit about them and, you know, sounds good. This could be interesting. But if it's not there initially, even from the written word, I think sometimes that uncertainty just doesn't, you know, pan out down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to remember that the data shows that women are impacted in their attraction by more things other than looks. Like we can jump from like a 4 to an 8 if somebody's really funny, if they're really smart, if they're really a good communicator. Like there are different ways that we are attracted than men are attracted. So I would also say that when you are reaching out, you know, reach out to like the 4, the 5, or the 6. Maybe he's not like your biggest heartthrob. When you meet him, when you see him, when you talk to him, there's a lot of opportunity for that spark to grow. And that is unusual for us as women. Men don't really have that same experience online. So we actually have even more options.
So how do we avoid those men that we can't commit to, or, you know, that can't commit to us, or that end up ghosting us? I mean, how do we know like what mistakes we're making that we're not even aware of?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've seen in my work, which I'm so privileged, I've gotten to be in inboxes of people online and text messages. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, I can't believe you said that. But one of the biggest things that I see, and this is why sometimes, and this is not a like tried and true fact, there's no hard data, but it's an anecdotal information that I've seen time and time again. Often what happens is, again, when you're dating online, people get overwhelmed, they get really busy, they're getting all these messages, they don't really know what to do, or a guy asks them out, they're sort of not sure. They're kind of maybe waiting to like see if their kid has like, you know, a conference next week, or figuring out if they have to bring like the brownies, or, you know, whatever it is. And they sort of like don't answer. They just maybe ask a question back. And I have seen so many inboxes where a guy is like, so are you free next Thursday? And she'll write, oh, that sounds great. I don't know. I have to see about my kids, like, Girl Scout meeting. So, but how was your day? And then he'll say, my day was great. I was with my grandson. And she'd be like, oh, how old is your grandson? And then it's like, then he'd be like, so do you want to meet up next Thursday? And she'll be like, oh my God, it's snowing. I have to go run and get my kid that pick him up from school. There are so many instances where the conversation keeps getting put off of actually meeting.
Right, right.
And women have no idea that they're doing it. Like, go in your inbox and actually follow the circle and see, like, oh God, he asked me like 5 messages ago to go out.
Yeah, I think another interesting point, something that you mentioned about like being overwhelmed and not being sure, is I think a lot of times, you know, you get out there for the first time to be online and you're not familiar and it does become so overwhelming, or you start talking to so many different men and you're not sure about what you like about who or who you like for what reasons, and the whole dating process just kind of becomes, you know, just drama also in your
another
life
job
that you didn't expect that. And then how do you determine like what it is that's really important to you? And I don't know, is there a way that we could just simplify this whole process?
Yes. So, and I want to circle back to the ghosting thing. So here's the thing. What I find is that when someone is avoiding making the date, or they get overwhelmed, again, their energy is sort of avoidant. They want to go on a date, but they're afraid to go on a date. They want to meet someone, but also they don't. Like, there's a lot of mixed messages. And so if you notice that you're kind of apathetic, or you leave people hanging, it's a kind of like dating karma, right? Like, you might also be attracting guys that are doing the same thing to you. So again, it's just a point of curiosity that you can look at. But the most simple way to do this, and I have like literally sat down with clients and I'm like, we are spending 20 minutes and we're going to get a date. Like, we're going to answer. We're going to answer right away. We're going to close the loop and we're just going to get a date. And I think what happens is when you don't sit down and spend the time and follow up and close the loops right away, these people just get lost in your text messages or your inbox. And that's what feels really overwhelming. And so I've had clients who are like, okay, well, he wrote me like after work, when I get home and after I've had some dinner, you know, I'm going to write him back. And then they're like, it's like 8 o'clock and like their show is that they want to chill. And then they'll tell me like, okay, this morning on my lunch break, I'm going to write him back. And so what I do is I'm like, all right, no. Who's writing you? Let's hit it. Let's start communicating. Let's go back and forth. Let's get the number. Let's set up the first phone call. We're doing it. And that is just like a giant burden off your back. So it's like 20 minutes, get a date, 20 minutes a day until you get a date scheduled, and don't leave people hanging.
Okay, so you get the date scheduled and you're dating.
Yeah.
You have a couple of dates and, you know, and you kind of start to throw yourself into it. And how do you know that you're not getting yourself into a rebound relationship?
Well, I think, again, if you have your non-negotiables, which I talked about before, you are what I call data dating, meaning that you are out there collecting data about these guys and you should super be having fun, right? You should be having great conversations and, you know, going out and doing interesting things. So we want to make sure that it's fun. And then when you're on those dates, you're asking really important questions and you are looking at that part that they're not saying, but they're doing, right? So how is he talking to the waitress? How is he communicating the details between calls? How was he speaking to the guy at the valet? How does he speak about other things, right? And so you want to look at their actions as well, and you're going to really start to be like, does this guy have this value that I'm looking for? And then you start to ask those really important questions when you're on dates about what it is that you're actually looking for so that you can be discerning, and again, without really being picky. So you want to have those non-negotiables in mind and start to see if they have them.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying, and I'm still, I am a shadchan matchmaker and a dating coach as well, and I have dealt with a lot of people who were attracted to the idea of going out with someone from their profile and their picture, but when they met them, it was like totally
disconnect.
No, they really didn't have a. These people were not what they presented themselves to be. Time after time after time, and I believe that even when you get married, you really don't know. You don't know the person. What do you know? 1% of somebody. So getting to the point of getting into a relationship with someone who's a total stranger, no matter how much you find out about him and how much time you spent, there still is a lot that we don't know. And I guess, you know, that's just really the luck of the draw following through on our
gut. Think, yes. Absolutely, gut is really important. I think that, look, you have to control the things you can control. You cannot control everyone. You cannot control everything, right? So there's an amount of being in the moment and trusting your gut and checking in with yourself and having courageous conversations and following through and all of those things. Because that is true. That will happen. You will have someone who disappoints you. You will have someone who you thought was one way and they're not. And so it's really just about, what am I learning about myself? How can I have a long game view, right? Like, it takes one person, and that I'm continuing to keep my energy in a good spot. And then also, like, again, have self-compassion when it's frustrating, when my feelings get hurt, when I'm sad, when I'm frustrated, that I just spend some time processing those feelings and being with those feelings, not avoiding them, not pushing them under the rug, but kind of processing through. Sometimes people have to take a little break, right? Because it's hard emotionally. And then rebuild self, do those things that bring joy, healthy distractions. And then, you know, you get back on it because you're committed to your vision. And then hopefully, yeah, you're right. You get with, I married my husband after 5 years of dating him. I know him better now for sure than I did 13 years ago. Because of those core values that we share, one of which was communication and a value on learning and growing, when those things that are challenging come up, like, I know that he is a person, because he showed me that, who is willing, even though it's not fun to talk about feelings, you will have those conversations and he wants to work on himself in the relationship. So that's why you really do want to see about those 5 non-negotiables as best you can, because those are the things you're going to rely on when things are challenging, because they will be.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is about fear. And, you know, I think that even though there may be chemistry, sometimes you just are unfamiliar with how to reacquaint yourself with being vulnerable.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And being vulnerable is really scary. And so it's about, how do you self-soothe and ground yourself to create emotional safety? How do you set boundaries?
Yeah, I have a question. You're really enthusiastic and have all this confidence, right? So I can see why you kind of like the whole internet dating thing, and you're really pretty. Do you work with any women that get ghosted all the time, that get rejected, they go on one date, don't get asked again? Like, I mean, is there like, what do you do when you've got a woman who tries and tries and tries, and it's so demoralizing because it's hard to keep up your self-esteem if you're constantly being ghosted, or the guy goes out with you once and then never calls you again, or you go to guys' inboxes and they don't inbox you back? And I know we don't have a lot of time, but it's kind of a good way to end it. Like,
no.
How do you keep going and dealing with that constantly?
Well, so here's the thing. I coach women of all ages and sizes, and I'm talking very curvy, large women, and very tiny women, and very women in their 60s and 70s, and all ages and cultures and all those things.
I should have asked you about that first, about if you're like in your 70s or 80s, can you still get guys? Because that's one of my fears. But
yes,
go ahead.
Of course you can. So,
I mean, it's all good now,
thing.
But
we don't have enough time on this show. We literally have like about 2 minutes left. So let's just answer. And I also, Marnie, want you to be able to give out your information for where people can contact you or find out about your curriculum.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't ask that one sooner.
Here's the thing.
Can you stay on after?
You will always find evidence and surround yourself that will tell you that dating is hard. You have to be a certain age. You will always be able to hear people that will collect negative evidence of your beliefs around your inability to find love. It is your job to be resourceful and resilient
and create self-worth and self-love and be rejection-proof. And remember that your mission is to be in a loving, healthy relationship and that you have value to add to someone's life, and to not give up if that is what is happening for you, because your soul and you're just here to learn more stuff. And so just keep learning and keep growing and stay with it.
Amazing. Love that. Great way to end. Tell us where anybody can reach you or get more information about your Dating with Dignity and your other websites.
They can go to datingwithdignity.com. They can follow us on Instagram at Dating with Dignity, on TikTok at Dating with Dignity. And also we have a podcast. We do 2 episodes a week, and that's called Life Check Yourself. So check it out, and you can listen to where all podcasts are played.
Amazing. Marnie Bartista, thank you so much for joining us today on Jewish Singles Radio. And be sure to tune into Jewish Singles Radio's live broadcast every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. right here on WWDB 860 AM or WPEN 97.5 FM HD2. You can also listen to our show on demand at WWDBAM.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like us and follow us on social media. Bye-bye for now.